I'd like to welcome you to the forum tonight. The subject is the deaf world, and it's probably better, it should have a better title than that. Maybe the world of hearing impaired people, because there are people here with us that have hearing impairments, and you will find in your churches at home many, many individuals that have hearing problems that are becoming worse and worse with the aging or other reasons. But tonight, we'd like to have some fun and just to do a few different things. We'd like to start with a little something to warm you up. That would be two different skits that will be done by some of the members of our group that are here for the week. First, I'm going to call on Virginia and Louise to do a little skit. Does it have a title?
The title is On the Way to Holden Valley. Going on 4:30, we've got to get going. We have to pick up two other little boys. Take us along on our way to Holden Village. Oh boy, what a long drive, 4.5 hours. Oh, here we are. There's the place where the boat is. Look at how many people are around waiting for that boat to come in. Oh, look, you can see the boat starting to come. Oh, the people are getting so excited. And oh, here's the boat. Hurry up and get on. Oh, isn't that a beautiful view? Look at those trees and all that water. Beautiful. What a nice trip. What a nice ride. And here we're getting close to land. Oh, look, there's some buses. There's three buses there waiting for us. Oh, great. Let's get on the bus. Oh. Look at that. All the way up and down. Look all the way down there. About an hour. Oh, here we are. There's the village. How pretty. Look at the mountains and all the snow on top. Oh, aren't they wonderful? It's so beautiful. And all the trees around. Marvelous. How exciting to be here. Hurry up and let's get off the bus. And let's see. Our room number 17. Okay. Oh, doesn't this look nice? There's two beds there. Oh, everything's just wonderful. It sure is. It's been a nice trip from being here from Saturday till Saturday. Thank you so much. I was born in LA, California. And when I was a baby, my parents really don't know what happened. Whether they don't remember any special illnesses that would have caused my deafness. But as I grew up, an oral teacher taught me everything. There was no sign language used. I couldn't understand words. I didn't really know anything. And when I was 11 years old, I began to learn from my first sign language teacher, and began to really make progress from then on. I began to understand words, and I continued improving my speech from then on too.
And sign language both
and
together
sign language both.
Are better.
Yeah, Louise. When I was growing up, I was hard of hearing. My hearing wasn't really wonderful, but I could hear some. My mother always made me go to public schools, but I really wasn't able to learn anything from public schools this year, from fall all the way till the spring. And the school called my mother to come and say that your child really isn't able to do in day school, isn't getting along in public school. And yet, up until the fall, my mother just decided to send me to another hearing school, public school. And the same thing happened throughout the year. In the spring, I still hadn't gotten much out of it. And the school was encouraging my mother to send me to a deaf school. And then finally, when I was 9 years old, my mother did finally give up and decided to put me into... When I was 9, my mother sent me on ahead then to the deaf school. And I graduated when I was 16, and I... But it was an oral program, and I progressed really well. I learned well. I just didn't get along so well in the public schools. Graduated when she was 16.
When I was born, my mother and father had an eyes negative problem. I don't know who had what, but what's caused my hard of hearing. To give you an idea of how much hearing loss I have, take 0 being normal, and 85 being the range, 85 to 100 being deaf, I'm at 83. So, with that in mind, that's where I'm at. I went to kindergarten to begin with no hearing aids, and my mother all along thought something was missing on me. And she knew already before that I went to kindergarten that I was somewhat to have a hearing loss. Anyway, I went to kindergarten when the teacher there figured I had a hearing loss too. The doctor didn't believe a word of it until after I went to kindergarten. And from there I went to not a private school, but it was in Seattle, it was a school for the deaf, I guess. I went there for 2 years, learning the lip read, talk, the basics, adding and subtracting, that sort of thing. And then I guess I did well enough to go to public school. And about every twice a week I had a tutor come and teach me how to read lips.
Hearing aids are wonderful. I mean, they're the difference between not hearing at all for me, except my husband, who has a very loud voice, fortunately, and not hearing at all. But they aren't like glasses. When I had the idea, you know, if you don't see well, you get glasses and you're all fixed up. If you don't hear well, get hearing aids and you're all fixed up. That isn't so. They're very hard to get used to. And if you're, for instance, if all of you would start talking to your neighbors, I wouldn't hear anything. I'd hear a lot of noise, but it would be very difficult for me to hear a conversation. And music is a lost cause. I have my own personal music, which is pretty poor, but music and voices, well, sounds are distorted. Lots of times I can hear, the volume is good, but it's gobbledygook that doesn't make sense. And don't talk too fast. Sometimes some sounds are difficult to understand. There's some sounds are knocked out as far as my hearing is concerned. And so sometimes when I ask you to repeat once or twice, maybe I'll get up then, you know, and just. But sometimes if you can rephrase your comment, put it in different words, maybe it will be, maybe you'll eliminate those sounds that I can't hear. I've learned to admit I'm hard of hearing. Of course, I'm so hard of hearing, I can't avoid it. And people are usually very nice. I'm much impressed with the human race. They often they say, "Oh, I'm sorry," and, you know, as though it were their fault I couldn't hear when they talked at first. And then they speak louder and more slowly and so on. I was a pink lady in the hospital, and I thought, well, I'll just have to, you know, sick people don't want to fuss with somebody that's hard of hearing. But the women I worked with, they couldn't find the substitute, they told me. And so I finally went back. And it has worked out well. If a patient is so sick, or, you know, has such a weak voice that I can't hear, I go out and get one of the other ladies to take care of that patient. Several times I have, we ask them, what kind of juice would you like to drink, and so on. And if I don't hear, I'll say, I'm sorry, I'm awfully hard of hearing. And several times they just kind of woken up and said, well, I am too. And there's a bond. Which made me feel kind of good. It's very tiring. I'm usually by myself a lot, but to be trying to hear is hard work, because I have to strain and really work at it. And I find I've had to change my lifestyle, or Leo and I have. Large groups can be very depressing. I mean, and I'm sure that these people have found that you feel very alone in a group if they're all talking and doing something. Or even if one person is talking and you can't hear them, you don't know what they're talking about. And so the temptation is to stay home by yourself, which you have to fight against, because of course then I'd turn into a different kind of, well, I was going to say freak, but anyway, you know what I mean. But we try to try to be in smaller groups. For instance, my preference, if we're having company, is to have a couple, or at the most two couples. I've taken a board out of my table to make it smaller. And I find that I don't sit at one end anymore and Leo at the other end. When we have company, I sit on one side, so I'm across from somebody. And it's close enough so I can carry on the conversation. Often, we were at a barbecue the other day, and there were 10 people around in a big round table. Well, I couldn't hear anything. because I don't hear well. I can't hear unless I see you, which kind of rules out very much conversation side by side. And the other people were too far away, or they weren't talking to me. So, but then on a small table, card table size, for instance, if there are three or four people, these two people are talking and I'm sitting here and I'm watching this person while he talks. Well, then this person starts to talk, and by the time I'm looking at this person has started to talk, and I'm like a ball, always a little late. And so I miss a lot. But I pretend I smile a lot. And I try to look like I hear, which is maybe not a good idea, but anyway, that's what I do. And if someone tells a joke and everybody laughs, I laugh or smile bigger than usual. Let's see. Oh, and my husband is very cooperative. When we have company, he tries to clue me into what they're talking about. I can't pull the chairs close enough to suit me, because then everybody else would be uncomfortable. But he will say, "Chief," that's what he calls me, that we're talking about the Joneses' new house, or we're discussing so-and-so. So at least I know what they're talking about, and I hear part of it, so I'm not out of it altogether. And that's pretty much.
Virginia, did you want to share a story?
Well, at the deaf school, I worked. A long time ago, I worked at the Salem School for the Deaf. I've left now. But I worked at the school for 14 years in Salem. After graduating from school there, I got a job and I was working there. One day I was waiting on the instructor, you know, there was a separate eating lunchroom for the teachers where they ate. Now it's different, they have a cafeteria. But there was an incident I want to tell you about. One day the teachers were all sitting around eating, and one teacher said something to me, looked like ML looked like. So I thought I knew what it was, and so I put a pickle down. I couldn't hear what they really said. So I took and gave him a pickle, and the teacher said, "No, I wanted milk." And everybody looked at me and I said, "Oh, I thought you said pickle." The mouth looked almost the same. And so another thing happened. Another time a teacher tried something out on a deaf girl who is really a skilled lip reader. But the teacher was talking without his voice. He didn't use his voice, and so he said this. And so this person went into the refrigerator and got a glass of milk and brought it to the person. And the teacher said, "No, what I really wanted was a pickle." And that person said, "What?" And it's kind of amazing. You see, by the shape, it's about the same mouth shape. The L, pickle, milk, you know. In not being able to hear it, but looking at the mouth, it almost looks just the same, pickle and milk. Teachers were all kind of puzzled about that. Really?
He says, "That's weird."
There it is. Did you want to tell anything about yourself?
When I was 3.5 years old, I was sick, and I went to a hospital. I went to the hospital for almost 1 month. About 3.5 weeks, I think. And I was in there for a long time. And I became deaf from meningitis.
He's spelling it too.
He's spelling meningitis.
He's just about got it exactly right.
And the doctor tried to fix me. I almost died, but he saved my life. But I was deaf for I was oral for 6 months. I went to school about three and a half years after that. School 3.5 years old. I was oral 3.5 years old. But then when I was, about 6 years old, then I was deaf. I was like a deaf boy. And I like to go to Bernie School in Tacoma for I've been going there for almost about five or six years. And I live near the school, and I can run to school for about 5 or 6 years.
Every day.
In the morning and after school, I run home. And all the time. I get tired of that. That's it.
I wonder now if it'd be all right to open it up for questions from people that are here to ask you about anything. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, another question out there.
Here's a real elementary question. How many years did they have sign language developed?
He says two. She said once I went to school, I started learning really quick. I went into school when I was 7 years old, and Virginia says, I just was around the others for a little while, and I just started signing away. Darren says took about 2 or 3 years, and I feel like I pretty much
It means the question is, when did they invent sign language itself?
In America. So do you mean how long has sign language been in America?
Yeah.
For a long time, it started.
You'll have to moderate.
The first sign language, I don't know when it was established.
She said Gallaudet began teaching children in America the ABCs and began working with signs in America. I don't remember what year that was, so. She said, do you remember his statue? It said something about it. There is a book in the library here. A book called Deaf Heritage. There's a book here in the Resource Center of Deaf Heritage that has a good explanation about that.
For some reason, the year 1834, around there was when it was brought to America from France.
Is it difficult for a deaf person to speak when they have the physical ability to speak? Is the difficulty because we need to hear sounds? Why do so many deaf people who are physically able not speak?
Virginia says, I really didn't know anything until I actually got into school when I was 7 years old. I knew nothing. Once I was able to see some sentences of something given to me so I could communicate, got to be all right because she couldn't hear me. Greg says, well, like when a baby grows up, say they want to know their name, and everybody's talking and everything, and then you find out what causes. Like if the mother tries to talk to a child, and she's wondering, the child wonders, The mother wonders what's wrong with the hearing. The mother keeps talking.
The baby doesn't respond.
But the baby doesn't respond. So then the mother takes the baby to a doctor to try to find out what causes the hearing to go bad. That's pretty much what happens. From the past, all from long ago.
Let me see if I can focus the question. I think she's asking, why don't deaf people use their voices? Can you? And why not?
I can.
So you use your voice. Other people? Is that the question that you're asking?
He says, I use my voice.
For hearing people that don't use sign language. This, I'm just voicing for you. Go ahead. One person can't sign, so I'll talk slowly, not fast. They can't understand me, but I'll talk slowly and then they can understand me. And if they don't understand me when I talk, well, they know that I'm deaf.
I remember a long time ago when I was a little boy, a teacher tried to give me names of things, like, and show me, use a feather for the blowing, you know, really practice talking, using a feather, using different tools. It takes a long time, years of work. But individuals are different. For some deaf people who are hard of hearing, they end up talking well. For me, it didn't work out. I just don't talk well. I asked my father why, about sign language use. Why didn't we do it? Well, we were told that we don't want to use sign language. They try, it'd be better to teach them to speak. And someone else urged my parents to use sign language. But at that time, it was forbidden. And some parents got together and fought and changed some laws. Rules. In 1979, more and more teachers are using sign language in public schools in Seattle now. Some deaf people's voices, you know, sound different from others. Maybe have a high shrill sound in their voice. Other people know that their voices sound very flat or low, and that other people can't understand the deaf person's speech very well. And so they use their voice or not, depending on their voice. Okay, Virginia says, in talking with my family, they understand me fine, but I won't talk with other people. My voice. I'd rather take a pad and pencil and write.
Other questions? From the back.
Have any of you ever used a hearing dog, or do you know people who use hearing dogs?
Before. Yeah, I've heard of that before.
A hearing dog.
Sometimes, not much, though. When I was little, I didn't know. I don't know if you know what they're talking about. Between the dog and the deaf. Have you heard about that before? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what?
I don't understand you.
There's a special kind of dog that is trained just like a dog for the blind, and they take them to another place and they train them, they get them out of
I don't know about my dog.
These are dogs that are trained like the blind dogs are to alert deaf people of noises around the house. If someone knocks on the door, then the dog will come and get the deaf person, lead them to the door. If the you know, smoke alarm goes off, the dog will pounce on the person, wake them up, and lead him to the smoke alarm, sometimes the dog will lay on the ground so that the deaf person knows they're supposed to get on the ground and crawl out to the door. Or if the telephone is reading for the TTY, which is the teletypewriter device, the dog will lead him to the TTY.
I thought that was so interesting. In your mouth, you said that she has a dog who has not been trained, that he alerts her to the telephone and the doorbell. I don't think she's seeing their mouths when they're talking to you. You have a dog.
Oh, yeah.
That helps you?
Yes. Well, he helps me when the doorbell rings.
I've got two kids that are Yeah, I was going to say that I have this friend who's deaf and has a dog, and he explained to me about how he taught it and it learned. And finally the dog was trained to help the deaf people. And I went over to a speech center expo, and they had some demonstrations on how these dogs work, and they had a training program for these dogs. And the dog, the deaf person was asleep, for example, and the bell rang, the dog would come up and jump on the person and wake him up. And that worked really well. The second thing the dog did was if somebody knocked on the door, the dog would bark and he would know and lead the deaf person so they could open the door and let them in. The third thing was an alarm clock. If the alarm clock went off or a telephone, the dog would bark and lead him over to whatever else was ringing so they'd know to answer the TTY. Or the star alarm went off, then the dog would know what to do. It was a very successful program.
I went to Seattle school called Excellence for the School. And I heard of a very very good program. It's a man is from Portland, Oregon, who bought his dog, was trained, and put it forward to deaf or blind. If anything him came, but if the door knocked, the dog teeth would pull someone's shirt, his deck, or feet, pull them, and then, or, you know, make a, magic. He touch them and put on it, and then you know that the door knocked. Second, the telephone ring. Dog was bucked. And followed. Jeffers were following him. Telephone. The dog was telephone ring. And then, Epstein ran the box dog. All of the deaf group. About 59 deaf kids. Epstein. And then what the one of the teachers knocked in the back. And the dog heard it barked down the back of the dog.
Other question.
It must take special parenting skills to deal with a child with a hearing impairment. I wonder if other organizations who help with this, or where do parents go to find out how to deal with the problems the child has?
I'm a parent. Ken's parent. And like he tried to say, it took me 4 years to prove to the doctor that he was hard of hearing. And but I was amazed at the tremendous help the Seattle Public Schools gave me in getting us realizing that he couldn't handle public schools that from the kindergarten on. They got me right into the University of Washington. He had 5 quarters of speech therapy at the University of Washington before he went to kindergarten. Before they knew he was hard of hearing, they just worked on his speech. And then the Seattle Public Schools got him right into the program of hard of hearing children. And we also had a little trouble convincing the teachers there that a hearing aid might help him. They said a hearing aid wouldn't help him because of the type of hearing loss that he had. But with the first hearing aid, we thought, well, we'll try it, see what happens. excuse me. And when he was in the other room and I called Ken, he didn't know what I said, but he knew I said something. So he came to find out. And I thought, that's something, it's worth something. So then as he grew older and he wore up the hearing aids, he got stronger hearing aids. He always had to wear them on a little harness on the outside of his shirt. And now he wears 2 hearing aids and he says he hears in stereo. But there are programs, we had parent-teachers groups where the parents got together and shared problems and shared ideas. And I know one father helped me especially because he said, get them in sports and teach them all the rules. And Ken played basketball, football, baseball, the whole works. He graduated from high school. He graduated from the University of, or Western University. Western Washington University up at Bellingham. So he's been all right.
Right over here.
I have an uncle who's in his 70s now that was about 50 years old before he ever learned to drive. And he was a year old when he got measles and he cleaned up, but he was about 50 when he wanted to learn to drive. We had an awful time finding a driving school that would teach him in turns rates were high and so forth. Has that changed much? Do any of the guests
drive? Lee said no problem for me. Everything's been going along just fine in the driving. I've been driving over 30 years now. A lot of deaf people in Portland and Vancouver and in the areas I know have cars.
Okay.
They drive all around.
Yeah, well, I went to Roosevelt High School for 10 weeks until I was 16 years old, and they had special education teachers that sign language, and they taught from a book and explained how to drive, and they had traffic safety and explained all this stuff to us first, and we learned all that, and then we took the test, and then we understood. We got our permit like everybody else, and when we finished one quarter of learning, they were teaching us a sign language, and the teacher would sit right beside us, and I would sit here, and they would teach us how to drive and how to back up and all this kind of stuff, and we practiced a lot and learned more. And when we finished all that, we went to take the test, and I flunked it the first time, but the second time I passed. To let the policemen know you are deaf, sometimes they have sign language cards. Which way to turn, which way to go straight when you're taking the test, and turn, and what to do, and you would show me what to do, and I would look, and so I passed the test, and then I got my license.
Also, the mind is very pleasant.
Well, here.
Some of the parents attending your class this week and learning a little bit about sign language, it's been really enjoyable. And some of the parents have people have been in the class with us. I would like to know if, when they're just around Holden, is there always an interpreter close to them, or if we walked up and tried to sign with them and got really mixed up, what would happen?
Well,
I
went to Cal Central Community College. It was a really good program for deaf. And they helped the deaf and tutored the deaf. And I took some carpentry, and I have hearing people all around me, hearing teachers, and they had interpreters all around me. And the teacher would talk away, and the interpreter would interpret away, and so I could just learn anything. So about 8 quarters I did that. And I can learn, and I graduated. Did the interpreter all day? Well, the teachers would lecture up there and explain all this stuff and about building and the area and the carpentry and all this stuff all day. And if I didn't understand a certain problem, how you do this drawing or whatever, then I'd ask the teacher and the interpreter would interpret for me, so explain so I could understand and I could do the drawing better. And sometimes in carpentry I didn't understand a particular point, I would ask, the teacher, explain to me, and then the interpreter would, reverse for me, voice for me, and I could ask the teacher questions. Also, in a job interview, it's really much better to use an interpreter, if the boss can pay attention to the interpreter and I can sign, and the interview goes a lot smoother. if I have a program. They have a program in Seattle at Seattle Speech and Hearing Center for one place in the U.S., just one.
The initials of it is PWI. What does that mean?
It's project with industry?
Mm-hmm. Project with industry.
It's a long word. And there's only one in the whole United States, in Seattle, just one. In other places, they don't have it. But they have this very good service to help the deaf in Seattle for jobs and all sorts of things. And you can call somebody at the Speech and Hearing Center to interpret for you for jobs, appointments, interviews, that kind of thing.
The same thing in at Dawson Island, the rest of the camp, 4 years ago. So three or two or three years ago. And a few deaf people go to camp. And they need, but if they need cookers, what if there's a meeting and more one order asks the cooker what the people or person said that leaving?
Let me ask that question again. What happens here at Old Village if and hearing people that are learning a little bit of sign language come up to you, start to sign, and then they don't know anymore. What happens?
I've noticed they've been coming out and asking me how to sign things like hi and morning and present. It's been good. I've been enjoying my kind of coffee, ice cream. Not a nice people talking about ice cream, popcorn.
We've got time for a couple more questions.
Are you very, very prepared at all times to stay on a pad and pencil? If that is the only way that you can use it? For the rest of us who don't know this wonderful language?
Well, we do include volumes to keep my paper and pencil right with me, and if we end up having any problems with anybody, I'm just really pushing down that piece of paper and pencil out and start writing.
Okay.
I keep a pad with me all the time.
If I don't bring a paper and pencil, I don't bring a paper and pencil a lot myself with anyone. I don't, just a few, once or two or three times I've used that. If someone tries to talk to me, I'll just read their lips, study hard and read their lips. That's a little bit hard to do. I'll just look real hard and then I'll try to figure out what they're saying, but I don't know, I just don't know what to do. And I've had to learn speech for 2 years now. I still would do a job. I used to work in Boeing Company, and some hearing persons come up to me and I didn't understand I was a deaf person. I was real eager to learn. Oh, so some other people were real eager to learn sign language, and I would write to them so they could show me exactly what to do. And I could show them sign language, and we could communicate mostly by writing, however. Like, sometimes I would go get a hamburger or something, I have to write to them hamburger so they would understand and tell them these things.
I can't remember.
Time
for about one more.
To Virginia and Louise, who have raised children, what were the frustrations of teaching and training to talk?
Louise says no problem. When my children were little, or say about a year or two, they really picked up this. I learned from Mama, Daddy, hungry, eat, play, doggy, kitty. And they began Fingerstown too, in their little simple little words of that and science. Everything seemed like it came up really smoothly and there was no problem. Seems like they were really well and helped me out with the phone. A couple of things talking to people.
What about learning to speak with a voice? How did you teach that?
Oh, classroom. I sent them to school. They learned around. My husband was really always protective too. You see, my husband himself is a cartoon.
Sometimes writing an interview really wastes time. Time just flies by and all these words are coming by. But if an individual is deaf, it's much better to have bring an interpreter along. That would save us a lot of time.
Well, I want to honor the 10 o'clock end of this time. If you'd like to stay after 10 o'clock, that's one of the customs I suppose for the forum time. I think all would like to thank you for your interest and questions.